Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
In Israel, just yesterday, on July the 6th, an Israeli Defense Force soldiers, two of them, are at a bus stop, and a lady comes up and pulls a knife out of a purse, a Palestinian lady, and tries to stab the soldiers. As you're seeing, take a look at it right here. She has a knife in her upper right hand. They're backing up, trying not to shoot, and all of a sudden they have to shoot. You ask yourself the question, you know, how in the world would this happen? But you just heard Musab Youssef, who was a son of the head Hamas leader, speak on our program just yesterday. He says they have nothing to lose. I mean, why would, this is almost what we call in America, suicide by cop. In other words, the person who doesn't want to live, they don't want to shoot themselves, so they actually come and pull a gun out, but they're not planning on shooting the officer. They walk up to the officer, and the officer has no choice to be able to stop them from shooting them. And they don't know it's suicide by cop. But this is like a suicide by Israeli Defense Force soldier. These are Palestinian terrorists. These are radical Islamic beliefs that would bring somebody to a place like this that says, you know, hey, if you die trying to kill a Jew, according to the Quran and the Sunni, then all of a sudden you're going to be in Islamic heaven. Well, that's a wrong belief system, is exactly what Youssef was talking about yesterday's program. We need to be able to change this particular belief system that's going on. So the question is to ask ourselves, what specifically is causing this thing to happen? And you hear a lot of things going on where people say, you know, our president has said it. He said sometimes that we need to lead from behind. In other words, America doesn't need to lead. But then you hear the other word saying, if America doesn't lead, then nothing's going to happen. But what we're finding out, and history proves it, America has led the world into a lot of things. And one thing that we're seeing right here, as our president went to Cairo, Egypt, his first international speech, and he said, this is going to be my narrative. This is my agenda. I feel like this is my job as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative stereotype. As a matter of fact, let's go back and listen to what he said, his first international speech. And when you put these two together, these Israeli Defense Force soldiers, how is she being so fueled with her passions that she thinks it's okay to be able to do that to these young Jewish soldiers? Take a look at this, what the president said.
So I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
You know, as a human being and as an American citizen, everybody has a right to their faith, whatever it is. But the job of the President of the United States is to defend the Constitution of the United States and the borders of the United States, not particularly defend a religion. And especially since we're a Judeo-Christian nation, defending Islam from every negative stereotype.
This is amazing when you're seeing, because you were a soldier, right? You were a Marine, right?
Still a Marine, correct.
Still a Marine. And that's crazy, you know, but I was in law enforcement, yeah. So somebody walking up to you with this knife, the way that she was walking up to these soldiers, and you have to understand, these soldiers, these Israeli Defense Force soldiers, IDF, they're probably 18, 19 years old, because you got to serve 2 years in the IDF in Israel after you graduate, and just because their clothes are all the same color, they're just young.
Yeah.
I mean, have you talked to an 18 or 19-year-old lately? So you're going to defend this.
Yeah.
But when you were in the military, were they not young guys and young ladies that were, there were a lot of them were?
Absolutely. Yeah. When you look at a lot of the wars that happen, the majority of the age group, the guys that are on the front lines is 18, 19, 20 years old at the most.
And so thankful too.
The last thing that they want to do is shoot someone.
Yes.
And they want to go through any precaution to warn, to shoot a flare, to shoot a warning shot and say no. But when you've got someone in that close of a proximity, when you look at the entire environment that has just been just, you know,
the atmosphere,
And there's so much division and chaos. It's
just, from your own experience, you can see how they're trying to not to have to do
absolutely.
That. Because they're backing up, they're retreating.
Yes.
They have two guns that could easily have immediately just ended the thing. But, you know, they back put the back against the bus stop, which normally that's when people shoot, when your back's against. But he actually walked around, or they walked around. I mean, you could see all the moves they were trying to make.
And she's still advancing towards them.
Right.
And it's just, you have to take in consideration both sides. It's like you have to look at the Israeli Defense Forces. They have one of the most moral armies and one of the most moral militaries, to say that, to see how much that they value human life. It's like,
in that part of morality, yes. In that part, yeah, you're right. And so, but the question you have to ask yourself, what is in this beautiful lady's belief system that would cause that to be a right behavior? What are you believing that thinks, you know, and we're not interviewing her, but if she comes from, you know, she's a Palestinian, you're looking at Muslim faith, primarily Muslim. And you're looking at, you know, Hamas and all these different things that are taking place. And you're going to hear again, but you heard Musab Yusuf talk about, they have nothing to lose. She had nothing to lose. I mean, think, is she going to go back and be abused, you know, by a religion and create, considered less than? If her religion has told her that if you try to harm a Jew through jihad, holy war, then you make it to heaven. I mean, there is something worse than a lie. It's a religious lie, because somebody's promised you heaven, and you're going to do that terrible thing, and you're going to find out hell is in your future, because God is. This is the difference between all false gods and true God. Our God loved us so much that he died for us. He's not asking us to die for him. He's not asking us to kill for him. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. So this narrative, what's this narrative going on? And when you look at the size of Israel, because a lot of times they compare America with other countries, and America just thinks everybody's big. Everybody's got like a Sam's Club or whatever's on the Kroger's or whatever's on the West Coast. And they just automatically think big. But you have to understand, Israel's so small. Our narrative, things that we say across the media, you know, things that we say across the internet, you know, it affects everything. As a matter of fact, there's other agendas right now that's happened in America that China is even beginning to take on those agendas. And they're going, because America's done it, then we can do it. It's like, we're so sorry, forgive us. But it's happened again and again. So what he said, I figure it's my job as the president of the United States, President Obama did in Cairo, his first international speech, you heard him say it, is defend Islam, which is this lady more than likely is a follower of Islam, or in a community that follows Islam. And from every negative stereotype there is.
Wherever it may be.
Yeah. Let's see what that looks like as we go to Sean Hannity on Fox News. Take a look.
I don't understand this mysterious reluctance and resistance to identify an enemy. I want to play some things for you. Let's first go to the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof, and they talked about Obama when he was in a Muslim school. He said he recalled, in a first-rate accent, by the way, the opening lines of the Arabic call to prayer, reciting them with a first-rate accent in a remark that seemed delightfully uncalculated, and it'll give Alabama voters a heart attack. But Mr. Obama described the call to Muslim prayer as one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. Now, I'm going to play for you back to back his comments about Islam and his comments about Christianity. And I want you to respond. Let's roll the tape.
The United States is not and will never be at war with Islam. And I'm also proud to carry with me the goodwill of the American people and a greeting of peace from Muslim communities in my country. Assalamu alaikum. Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace. Our enemies respect no religious freedom. Al-Qaeda's cause is not Islam. It's a gross distortion of Islam. The future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim.
We have reaffirmed again and again that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Islam teaches peace.
Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. Slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned.
He won't say radical Islam. You heard his comments about Islam. Terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Horrific. What nation are we? Who were the founding fathers? What creator are they referring to in our founding documents? Are they referring to Allah or some nameless blob? No, they're referring to the God of the New Testament.
Judeo-Christian values.
Absolutely. Why is the sympathy always for the other? Why is America the problem, Sean?
Now, let's add to this. An Iranian deal where you give the number one state sponsor of terror $150 billion. Let's add to that American bloodshed for Ramadi and Mosul and Fallujah and to Crete. Let's add to that Mohamed Morsi, former head of the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization, becomes the head of the president of Egypt, and he gives him tanks, F-16s, and $1 billion+, a guy that referred to the Israelis as descendants of apes and pigs. He is on the wrong side all of the time.
And when a man comes along who's a Muslim who says, I'm not letting the Brotherhood steal my country, I've met President Sisi, what do? We reject him.
President El-Sisi has had more courage to stand up to radicalism than the president of the United States.
He's on the front line.
But here's my question. Why? What is it?
Look, let's leave conspiracy theories to the side.
Not conspiracy. It's inexplicable to me.
It's one thing. I'll give you the explanation. This man comes from a certain ideological background, okay? His buddy was Bill Ayers. He grew up with a certain individual.
Bernadine Dorn,
right.
Reverend Wright,
right.
Acorn, Alinsky,
right.
Frank Marshall Davis.
What's the common denominator? America is the problem. Whatever the issue is, we are the problem. And as a result, he's always going to sympathize with who?
Which the makes a lot guy. Of sense. It totally makes a lot of sense when everything that's being done is saying America's the problem. Now, from a logical standpoint, you can be politically angry. But from a God's in control standpoint, you can think, what have we done, God?
Yeah.
That you're allowing this kind of leadership. You know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. Why did we need to have somebody with this mindset over our nation? Where have we sinned? What have we done wrong? And repent, you know, and it's kind of, some things that we've done wrong. 'Cause he says, you know, if you don't turn, I'm going to, fashioning a storm against you. There's a sword being brought against you. And literally Islam is a religion of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the mercies of God where he's going, listen, wake up. Eternity's for real. No matter what people tell you, if you aren't serving me, if you're not coming my way, the end is not good for you. As an individual, not as a nation, not as a collective, but actually making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You know, as a nation, we can only survive if God is the God of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's it. It's one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Outside of that, we'll have a tyrant. And so you have this narrative, and you're seeing, he said, I will defend it. That was the beginning of his administration. And guess what? We just saw Hannity break it all the way down. He defended Islam, and he actually didn't defend Christianity. Mm-hmm. And they're the antithesis of each other. You know, one says Jesus Christ is a prophet, and one says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Guess which one? Islam says that he's a prophet, and there's only one God. Jesus is the Son of God in Christianity, mm-hmm. of course, Christian, Christ follower. That's what that means, Christ follower. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a lot of differences, obviously, but that alone, since there's no other name under heaven where you might be saved, so that's a huge thing when you're no longer promoting God anymore, and you're promoting darkness over the face of the earth.
And it's significant too, because the president has also said that, you know, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. So when you're talking about the difference of Islam and Christianity, to say that Jesus Christ is Lord
is slandering the name
is
of
slandering
Muhammad.
Islam.
So, well, he said the prophet, so right. It'd be slandering the prophet, because they consider that
exactly
they have blaspheming laws and those type of things. And some of our legislatures said that as well. But I want you to hear what Youssef, he was just on our program, but this is the son of Hamas. His father is the leader, is a leader of Hamas. Mm-hmm. Hamas is the government that is over the Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. And what he said very specifically about promoting this narrative, this saying that the Islam is a religion of peace, when the IDF soldiers are saying, that's a butcher knife coming after me.
Yeah.
The 13-year-old girl who just died in her house the other day, when they came into her house and stabbed her to death. We got to connect to what's really going on right here. But listen to what the son of Hamas, who is now a Christian, what he said specifically about what our president has been doing, this job that he considered was his responsibility as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative stereotype, no matter where it is found. Listen what the son of Hamas, who was former Muslim, who considered, you know, Christianity evil and the Jews evil, found out that that was a lie, that Islam was a lie, that Jesus was the truth, and the Jews are God's protective folks. As a matter of fact, let's hear what he has to say about that narrative.
When the president of the free world stands and say that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
So you're looking at, this is the son of Hamas. Hamas is a, just right in there with the Muslim Brotherhood and all the kind of forms of
Al-Qaeda.
Boko Haram. And that's who the Pope was holding hands with and walking. Recently, it's where we were sending money to. It's where they were shooting missiles up into to the border, southern borders,
into Israel.
And this is the son of Hamas going. He's just saying, listen, what you're doing, Mr. President, you're promoting this woman, people like that, to go hurt people, to commit jihad, which is dying in the name of Allah, you know, having making war in the name of their God. And so they see that as a positive thing. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand a former ex-Department of Homeland Security. He's no longer there. Department of Homeland Security. Phil Haney, as he's testifying before the Senate, and he's saying very specifically, they asked me to remove every part of the mention of radical Islam as an enemy of America from all the records in Homeland Security. He's testifying, and you'll see firsthand that hearing just took place. That's why we want to tell you everything we told you. So when you see him sitting here, he's saying, they actually gave me the instruction to remove the reality of this woman who was just trying to kill these young soldiers in Israel. Well, you know, here we are. This is a Senate subcommittee being held by Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. Just happened about willful blindness. It's the committee, the whole meeting is called Willful Blindness of the Obama Administration Towards Radical Islam. And so this man testifying amongst other ones, but this man's name, Phil Haney, he worked with the Department of Homeland Security. He was there when President Barack Obama's administration said, begin to erase, remove all the mentions of Muslim Brotherhood.
Islam, jihad.
Islam, radical Islam, the things that
identify Islam.
The former FBI agent, John...
John Guendola.
John Guendola. And it's like, all this is in our face, and what are we doing about it? And so here he's saying it now. We've heard Michelle Bachmann, a congressman, Michelle Bachmann, tell us way back when that this was going on.
From the records.
Yes. Yeah. And he notices, he says this, that you can't even mention the words Ummah. Well, did you know what former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's assistant's name was? Is?
Ummah.
Ummah.
Yeah.
It means the gathering of Muslims. An Ummah is like the gathering of Muslims. And so you can't even mention that, but it's like, that's her name. The daughter of one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood is the assistant to the Secretary of State, who we just heard from our FBI leaders that she's been taking top secret emails and sending them on unsecure networks. And it's like, what are we doing? We're just opening ourselves up. And then look, we're doing that. But listen to what Phil Haney says at the hearing just the other day at Senate when he's going, listen, this is what they told me to do. Let's take a look.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify here today. Also, I'd like to express my appreciation for the patience of the members on the committee and Senator Coons while obtaining a copy of my written testimony. I'd like to start with a visual aid. This is the Homeland Security Advisory Council Countering Violent Extremism Subcommittee Interim Report for 2016. My colleague referred to it earlier as suggesting that we should refrain from using words like Ummah or Jihad or Sharia. I would like to also show you another visual aid, and this is what is called the Words Matter Memo that was published in January of 2008. And my story today is going to be what happened between these two documents, these two touchstone documents, 2008 and 2016, because it was during that period of time that what we know now as the countering violent extremism policy came to be. And one of the expressions of that policy is what we heard all about in the media in a few days after the Orlando shootings, that Attorney General Lynch was going to release partial transcript of Orlando 911 calls with all references to Islamic terrorism removed. That is a condensation of what was actually happening behind the scenes with subject matter experts like myself, who were sworn officers to protect our country from threat, both foreign and domestic. Between these two dates, 2008 and 2016, came what I call the first great purge, when I was ordered by the Department of Homeland Security headquarters to modify a euphemism, removing all linking information out of approximately 820 text subject records in our law enforcement system that almost exclusively had to do with Muslim Brotherhood Network here in the United States. I was told to remove all unauthorized references to terrorism, that I was no longer allowed to do what are called memorandums of information received, what we call MOIRs, no more text records, no more research, and no more special treatment from the agency. But during that time, hundreds of law enforcement actions had been taken in the three-year period when those 820-plus records were still in the law enforcement system. At exactly the same time, a controversial inaugural meeting took place on January 27th and 28th, 2010, between American Muslim leaders and the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, which was hosted by the Department of Homeland Security Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. It was controversial because several of the individuals attended the invitation-only conference in D.C. were known affiliates of at least two of the same Muslim Brotherhood front groups that had just been named as unindicted co-conspirators in the largest terrorism trial in the history of the United States, the Holy Land Foundation trial. Also that spring, at least six individuals with known affiliations to the Muslim Brotherhood front groups were appointed to the Countering Violent Extremism CVE Working Group, which was convened under the authority of the Homeland Security Advisory Council. I would like to show you now the logo of the Muslim Brotherhood, the moderate organization that this administration chose to ally itself with. Across the middle, it says Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, which means the Brothers of the Muslim, or the Muslim Brotherhood. And at the bottom, taken from Quran 860, is the word Wayayuda, which means prepare yourselves to terrify your adversaries with steeds of war or weapons of war. That is the motto of the Muslim Brotherhood. By the spring of 2010, we had come to the point that a CBP officer was literally moving, linking information, meaning the dots, on Muslim Brotherhood linked individuals from text, while the administration was bringing the very same individuals into positions of influence to help create and implement our counterterrorism policy, both in the domestic arena and in the foreign policy arena, as evidenced in our overt support of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Libya, Algeria, and Syria. Fast forward to August 30, 2011, when the Tablighi Jamaat case that I worked on was approved by the Chief Counsel of Department of Homeland Security. And this is an icon of the Tablighi Jamaat movement, one of the largest in the world. Outside of the United States, it's called the Army of Darkness. I began a TDY assignment, meaning temporary duty, at the National Targeting Center in November of 2011. Within 6 months, we had instituted 1,200 law enforcement actions on the case that we had started. But in September of 2012, what I call the second great purge, when the administration removed 67 linking records out of that case that had direct ties both to the San Bernardino Mosque, Darul Uloom al-Islamiyah San Bernardino, and the Islamic Center of Fort Pierce down in Florida. In other words, the network that we had worked on at NTC is tied directly to the terrorist attacks that we've seen recently. At the end of my career, I was relieved of my service weapon. All access to text was cut off and suspended. My secret clearance was revoked, and I was sequestered for 11 months while the results of three simultaneous investigations from three different branches of the government were concluded. In July of 31 of last year, I retired honorably. In conclusion, the threat of Islamic terrorism does not just come from a network of armed organizations such as Hamas and ISIS, who are operating over there somewhere in the Middle East. In fact, branches of the same global network have been established here in America, and they are operating in plain sight, especially among those of us who have been charged with the duty of protecting our country from threats both foreign and domestic. The goal, meaning the strategy of the global Islamic movement, is based on Quran 2, 191 through 193, and is actually quite simple: to establish Sharia law everywhere in the world, including here in America. And there is an organization in the United States that's actively doing that. It's called the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America. Very benign-sounding name, but in Arabic is Majama Fuqaha al-Sharia bi-Amrikiya. The group of lawyers implementing Sharia law in the United States, which is unconstitutional. The threat that we face today that continues growing despite the willful blindness of those who insist on pretending otherwise are not the tactical methods of violent extremism, terrorism, or even operative verbs such as jihad, but rather the historical and universally recognized Islamic strategic goal of implementing Sharia law everywhere in the world so that no other form of government, including the United States Constitution, is able to oppose its influence over the lives of those who must either submit to its authority, become second-class demi-citizens, or perish. Thank you very much for your attention.
So you're just looking at, he said, they took my gun from me, they removed me from my job and put me on sequester, which means they basically, it's like a jury being sequestered. You can't talk to anybody, you can't say anything. And this is the information that they were wanting to hold back, which was the result of having that kind of narrative that, you know, Yousef was saying is the very thing that fuels radical Islam. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about this, including taking a look at, you know, what is the Muslim Brotherhood in regards to, they want it removed from all of our records. I mean, their whole vision is to be able to bring jihad and caliphate. And you hear the word hegemony. Understand, that means the word hegemony means
world rule.
They want to rule the world, which we would say caliphate. That's what they would call it. So that's one of their goals. Or one of their goals is hegemony.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we definitely, as a sovereign nation, don't want the Muslim Brotherhood with that kind of vision. That's unconstitutional and it's illegal. To be in Egypt, it was illegal until our president showed up. He invited 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood to his Cairo speech that you saw at the beginning of this program, which President Mubarak, who was president at that time of Egypt, said that it was illegal to even be there. And he painted this whole new narrative that Yousef just said at the Jerusalem Post. It creates all this violence is going on. Well, more if we get back from the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
$25 million Christians stayed at home. 5 million votes decided who would be president of the United States. And the American dream is in jeopardy. So for me, it's not about the country, frankly. It's about my children. And that's why I'm telling you, my faith votes.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, AllPro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none. We want to earn your business and keep your trust. AllPro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Welcome to Gulf Coast Seafood Restaurant and Market.
Well, I got the seafood platter, catfish, fried okra, baked beans. Very tasty.
Gerard Patty always makes sure you have good fresh seafood, and Jonathan Patty always makes sure it's cooked to perfection.
The food is fresh, delicious, and super convenient.
Whether you're coming to have some fresh seafood or dining with us, we will be honored to have you and your family join us today.
Need a new garage door? current garage door broken, then look no further than the professionals at Precision Garage Door Service. Call today. We're open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and schedule an appointment with one of our skilled, professional, and courteous technicians. It is our pleasure to serve all of your garage door needs. Whether residential or commercial, make Precision Garage Door Service your first choice.
Welcome to Small Cakes. Whether you're coming in for a special treat for you or a perfect gift for someone else, at Small Cakes, we're here for you. I satisfy my sweet tooth at Small Cakes. Yummy, satisfying, and delicious.
Delicious maple bacon cupcake and addictive.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Magical, delightful, and indulgent.
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. And this is, you would think this is not really happening, but it's really happening. It's that where rubber hits the road is where you see 49 people murdered, massacred in Orlando, mm-hmm. and a man declaring his loyalty to the ISIS, to the Islamic State, and to Baghdadi. When you see what you saw with the soldiers going, this lady's coming at us with a mm-hmm. butcher knife. And so why in the world would we want to remove the Muslim Brotherhood as a potential enemy of the state? Let's just take a look at, a whiteboard explanation about where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from, to get some understanding mm-hmm. and what their vision is for their organization. Let's take a look.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad. Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool and the West for suckers.
You're looking at a organization that's pretty explicit in what they stand for. And it says, you know, the reality, the rise of hegemony, which means the rise of a caliphate or the rise of world rule, is the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. You can see why President Mubarak, the president, former president of Egypt, said they're illegal here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the strange thing that occurred after the president, after our president, President Barack Obama, invited 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood and gave that speech about Islam. It was like Islam walked on water the way that he presented it. It was an amazing speech. We have it for you on the VFN Torch. But then all of a sudden it gets organized to the point where a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi, becomes president of Egypt. And Egypt is shocked. The people in Egypt are shocked. What in the world would a tyrannical ruling people that was illegal here be elected as president? And they had to actually remove Morsi themselves and begin to put members of the Muslim Brotherhood in jail. And they elected President Sisi, who is a friend of America, a friend of Christians, and a friend of Israel. And the only support that came from our country was the support coming to the Muslim Brotherhood government, Morsi's government. All of a sudden, things were withheld when Sisi became the president. Members of our advisory committee for Homeland Security, it has been from the Muslim Brotherhood, reportedly. Also, that Jay Johnson speaks continually about the plight of the Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is going on? There's only 3.5 million Muslims in America. There's 350 million people, all of us count, including the Muslim citizens of America. And why are we focusing on this in this particular group? I would say, based on all this evidence right here, truly what the Lord showed me specifically in a vision was the fact that there was a covenant made with Islam. There was a covenant made in the basement of the White House, is what he showed me in this particular dreams vision. And we're seeing that walked out. Well, to make a covenant with Islam is to make a covenant with Antichrist religion.
Yeah,
Jesus is not the Son of God in the minds of Islam, in the mind of Muslims. And Muhammad is the prophet for Islam. Jesus, they call him at the most a prophet, and it's denying Jesus. It's an anti-Jesus Christ religion. If it was just a religion, that's one thing. But it's actually about a caliphate, which is the merger of government and religion. It's merging those two things together. So you hear people talk about Sharia law, Sharia law. We say constitution. They say Sharia law. Sharia law, in their mind, trumps the U.S. Constitution. And so we got to make up our mind. Do we want to be one nation under God? Do we want to go back to the original intent? And we can't just say it. We actually have to do it. And we have to ask God, says, Lord,
to repent.
We see the storm that's being fashioned against us. We see what's taking place. But you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll end this chaos, this craziness. He says, I'll heal your land. I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. Join me right now. We say, you know, Lord, I see it. The evidence is ever before us. Just like you said it, it would happen. But Lord, we want you to be the Lord of our life. We want God, whose son is Jesus, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to be the God of America. Father God, we just come to you right now. Pray with me if you would. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I just come to you right now in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, Lord. And I say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, where I've sinned against you. Just tell him, say, God, forgive me where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Forgive me where I made everything else a priority in my life, but I didn't make you a priority. Forgive me for reading every book, watching every show, doing everything. But when it comes to reading your word, knowing your word, and hearing what your word is, I've avoided it. God, forgive me for that. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the God of our country. Lord, we reject this false darkness, this army of darkness, all these things that they have mentioned, Father God, in this particular program. And we want you, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us. God, we ask you that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, that you would end this insanity of turning this nation away from you, Lord, that we would turn fully back to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.